The author, of course, of 1 and 2 Peter was Simon, the son of Jonah, the Apostle Peter. Remember how his brother Andrew brought him to Christ in that wonderful day when he went and told him, "We found the Messiah." And Peter was intrigued, and so intrigued was he that he came to Christ himself and he started a new walk of life with the Master. And soon he'd leave the fishing nets and he'd follow Christ and he would fish for the souls of men and women on the great tempestuous seas of life. The Lord, after his resurrection, told Peter that how he was going to end his days. He told him that he was going to give his life for Christ and for his service. But undeterred, Peter kept on following. And he used his ministry and he used his life experience to encourage others to keep on following. If someone was to tell you today that your next step will be martyrdom, would you keep on following? And would you keep on encouraging others to follow? Well, that's exactly what Peter did. In these general epistles that he wrote, from the opening to the conclusion, they're full of sweet comfort and encouragement to those that are facing trial, to those that are facing temptation, even to those that were facing torture. Peter taught them to look to Christ and find their hope and comfort in him, and to take their cares and to cast them upon him. Campbell Morgan, at the end of his ministry in Westminster Chapel in London, prior to handing over to the great Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was asked the question, "If you had to do your ministry all over again, would you do it any differently?" And he answered in a very simple but profound manner. He said, "I would seek to spend more time comforting the people of God." Now, we know there is a need to make uncomfortable those who are comfortable in their sin. But there also is what Campbell Morgan referred to, a comforting ministry for the people of God along the Pilgrim Highway. Those that are facing trial, those that are facing testing, those that are facing even tribulation, as Peter himself had to face. What was the greatest comfort that Peter could give to those who were facing such trials and tribulations and even martyrdom at the end of the journey? Well, literally, as we read our text together, 1 Peter 5 and 7, it was for them to take their cares and to cast them upon Christ, who alone knew how to care for them. As we go out into the week that lies ahead, out into this new year that God has brought us to see in his great providence, none of us know what the days ahead hold for us. Days of testing, days of trial, maybe even days in which we'll be called to give our all for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the advice and counsel of the Word of God to our hearts and lives today? It is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Facing the uncertainty of tomorrow, we take our cares and we cast them upon Christ with the great assurance, knowing that he cares for us. And you might say today, everything for you might be going well today, but it'll not always go well. And you'll come to that place where you'll feel the burden and the cares of life pressing down heavily upon you. What do you do, dear brother or sister, when you come to such a juncture on the journey of life? Well, you take your care and you cast them upon Christ, who careth for you. There's some lessons that we're going to look at from the text today, which I trust will help you in that day to prayerfully cast your care upon the Saviour. Firstly, let's consider together the causes of our care. The biblical commentators believe that Peter is quoting here from our Old Testament Bible reading, Psalm 55 and verse 22. This is the Old Testament I suppose, shadowing of this verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The great link between the old and the new is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is in both of these verses. And what Peter is referring to here is what is referenced in Psalm 55 and verse 22. It's just simply the burdens of life, the cares of life, the trials of life, the testings of life that press us down. And sometimes they press us down so heavy upon our shoulders and upon our souls that they become unbearable. The word that is used for care is defined by W.E. Vine in his wonderful expository dictionary of the New Testament words as meaning to be pulled apart, drawn or pulled apart in different directions. And we have here just a wonderful example of what care will do for the individual. It will pull you apart, men and women. You'll come to the situation where you will be so pulled apart that you will be literally distracted. The idea of the word is distraction, because worry or anxiety is that which will distract us and in the end will pull us apart in different directions. And this, of course, has found its way into our everyday English vocabulary. And many of us have used the expression, and have heard the expression used over the years, that everything is falling apart. Just means we're pulled this way, we're pulled that way. We're not in unity, we're not in concord with ourselves or with the journey of life itself. We are pressed down with the cares of life itself. Some commentators, when they're looking into the root meaning of the word, they're describing the state here of mental and emotional anxiety. And that's what care does for you. It starts off with something that's in the family, something that's in your own personal life, and it so presses down upon you, so weighs heavy down upon your own soul, that it brings you to a state of emotional anxiety. It can bring you to a state of even mental anxiety. And of course, amongst the ranks of some of the people of God, it's a taboo subject even to talk about, because there are many Christians, they live in total denial, as if anxiety and care could even touch them. But dear brother or sister, it can touch you. And it can bring you right down. This noun is used 6 times in our King James translation of the Bible. If we put all of those references together, a picture is built up of the type of anxious care that we are reminded of here. There are those personal worries. That's the way the word is used in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 by the Lord Jesus Christ. Take no thought. The word is care. Worrying, distracting thought for your life, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. So the thought here is that those are the personal matters that disturb us. And there are many personal matters that can disturb the peace of mind of the people of God. If it's not the worry of today, it'll be the anxious worry of tomorrow, or of the days that lie ahead. Then there are the cares that focus not just in upon us as individuals, but upon those who journey the journey with us to a glory land. There are, of course, the cares of our family. Every parent today will know the care of young children. And we all know, no matter how old our children are, they remain our children. And you carry that care. And you carry that anxiety. And you carry that worry until the day that you die. I talked to a lady one day going out of church. She said to me, because she was worried about her family, she said, I suppose you think I'm an awful Christian. I said, no, not at all. I just think you're a great mother. It goes with part of the deal, really. We have not only those that are with us, those that are ahead of us, And there are many Christians today, and they're looking after aged parents, and they're considering the welfare of their aged parents and how they can minister to them. And sometimes we know it can be overwhelming in its extent. And the Lord Jesus referred also in Matthew 6:25-26 to those financial cares that burden down the people of God. The cares of this world. We're not of this world, but we have to live in this world. We can't go out of the world to live, thus we have to live in this world with all of its challenges, and the challenges also are those financial challenges that come across our pathway. And then I think one of the greatest is what Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28 when he talked about the care of the church. The whole burden, the burden of the work of God, the pastoral oversight of the people of God, the cares of the flock of Christ's own pasture. These are the words that are used in our New Testament to outline the meaning of this care. Now, some of them are very legitimate areas of care, but when they become anxious cares, when we become over preoccupied with them, then you and I, we imagine that we're wiser than Almighty God Himself. We think that He is unable any longer to carry these cares, and so we must be smart enough ourselves to do it for ourselves. Brethren and sisters, let us learn today that there are cares that we carry needlessly. Needlessly. And the more we pile them up upon our own lives, the greater the anxiety becomes within our lives. And it leads to an ever deepening spiral of worry and despair and even personal and utter depression of spirit and mind. And then in such a weakened state of body and in such a weakened state of mind, the believer quickly loses his or her usefulness in the service of God. And there are those who once were in our congregations and they were useful in the service of God and they thought they had to carry it all themselves, and it became such a burden to them that they're no longer today of any use in the service of God. They're broken vessels. Dear Christian, as you work for God, you rest assured that God is able to care for His own work. And He's able to care for the workers that are in the work. You and I can never outgive God. We can never outcare God. His timing is absolutely perfect in all of our lives. But be careful that care does not bring you down to the place where you lose your sharp cutting edge in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second thought in this text, and it's simply this. There is a cure for care. There is a cure for it. Now, if you want the cure, you'll have to go back. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The cure is preceded by humility. Humility. R.A. Torrey, in his study list on the word of humility, he gives a wonderful outline. The outline itself is a sermon that stands in its own. But it shows the necessity of humility as a means of growth in the life of the child of God. And sometimes the Lord puts cares upon us to humble us, to bring us to the place where we realize that we're nothing before Almighty God. He referenced humility as a necessity in the service of God. The proud, arrogant spirit, Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 teaches us, has no place in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This attitude, I can. You know, this is the modern day attitude. I can. We've heard all of those glib little phrases before, but you and I can't do anything. Without him, we can't do anything. And before we put our hand to anything, we need to realise that without him, we're undone. We're unprofitable servants, even at the best. So when you say, I can, make sure you preface it by saying, without him, I can do nothing. That's humility. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great example of humility. We read some of those great passages, such as Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, that he humbled himself. Christ humbled himself. I want you to think on that just for a little moment. There are many Christians today, and they refuse to be humbled. But Christ willingly and freely humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was the servant king. He humbled himself. And if you refuse to be humbled, God will say to you, well, just you go on, you carry that care. You take it. See how far you'll go with it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he willingly was humbled. And those that willingly are humbled are those that will be exalted in due time. And we know that is a true characteristic of the saints of God. Psalm 34 and verse 2 and so forth. Dear brethren and sisters, if there is a cure for care, it is found in humility. The word humble means to be brought to the ground. To be brought to the ground. To be abased. It means to be so humbled by God that you let go of your own, as it were, self-importance, self-reliance, self-confidence. And it means God showing us what we really are without him. And what are we without him? We're nothing. We're nothing without him. Before you can let God carry what he offers to do so for you, your cares, all your anxieties, all your cares, you have to be humble enough to admit and to acknowledge, I can't do it on my own. And you'll never do it on your own. And I want to ask you today, dear Christian, is it just sheer pride of spirit on your own part that is preventing you coming before the Lord just in childlike faith and casting yourself before God and casting your care before God, humbling yourself, saying, I can't do it any longer? Spurgeon gives the lovely illustration of a man who was walking along a highway with a heavy load upon his back. He was growing so weary, and therefore he was very glad when a very fine gentleman in a carriage stopped along the pathway with him and offered him a lift not only for his own weary body, but a lift for his own heavy load. The man got up into the carriage and he took his seat and he rested his own weary frame upon the seat. But the owner of the carriage noticed that he took the heavy package that he had and he put it upon his own knee. He thought, even though he was being carried along the journey in this very fine gentleman's carriage, that he had still to carry the weight himself. And it's not just like so many Christians. God in his great grace has met them along the journey of life and saved them and changed them and transformed them by his wonderful power. And they get into the carriage, as it were, of salvation, but they think to themselves, I have to still carry my own burdens myself. Oh, don't allow pride to humble you, to prevent you casting all your care upon the Saviour today. If he's mighty enough to save you, he's mighty enough to carry the burdens that you have to carry along the journey of life. The cure involves a very definite, I think, specific rolling of the burden of the Lord in prayer. Remember how the text finds its root in Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. It just simply means roll the burden upon the Lord. roll it upon the Lord. Release the weight of it. Whatever the weight is, just release it. Give it to Him. Give it to Him today. And you can only do it in the attitude of prayer and in the place of prayer. Whatever burden God has laid upon you today, and He put the burden upon you. That's the amazing thing of it. In His great providence, He put the burden upon you. You're invited to take that same burden and to roll it upon Him. In His wisdom, as He cast it on you, it'll be wise for you to do the same with Him. And if you're full of anxious care today, maybe it's care over your children. Maybe it's care, dear mother or father, over grown up children. He tells you to cast your care upon Him today. One father told me that he learnt in the old year to be a parent on his knees. And maybe you will have to learn the same lesson this year. As the father watched for the prodigal in the far country, so you will have to be parenting on your knees. The word that is used for casting, it means to throw upon. And the only other place this word is used in the New Testament is found over in Luke's Gospel. If you go there for a minute, Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 35. Luke 19 and verse 35. We read, and they brought him to Jesus, that is the colt, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. I have this wonderful picture in my mind's eye of the disciples taking off their garments, taking off their apparel, and they were much the lighter for it, no doubt. And they took off those outer garments and they cast them upon that colt. And then the Saviour sat upon their garments. And just as those disciples cast their outer garments upon the colt for the Saviour to sit upon, so we're taught simply to bring our burdens, to bring our cares, to bring our anxieties, and simply to cast them upon the Saviour in the place of prayer. To be very specific about it. To be very particular about it. To cast the burden of family. To cast the burden of friends. To cast the burden of finance. All of those things, to bring them to the Lord and to put them on the Lord in the place of prayer. And He will carry them. Peter spoke in 1 Peter 4:19 of Him being a faithful Creator. We can entrust ourselves unto Him as unto a faithful Creator. How did Paul use this expression? We'll go back again, please, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. What did he say? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then when you do that, it says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what in essence was he saying? Well, in essence he was saying this: worry about nothing and pray about everything. You and I, we need to learn again, as old Joseph Scriven taught us, to take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't pick it up and think you can carry it along the pathway, but just take it up and give it to the Lord in prayer. Cast it upon the Lord in prayer. And I know from my own pastoral ministry that the ones who have the heaviest burdens are those that are least in the place of prayer. They're going to do it their own way. If you do it God's way, you'll have a peace of soul about it. Lord, I can't do anything about the situation in my family, in my country, in my church. Those things are beyond my power, but I'm giving them all over to you in the place of prayer. As we learn to cast our care upon the Lord, well, we are exercising faith and trust in Him who knows what to do is right. Sometimes we go to people and we ask their advice, and you come away with a doubt in your mind. Well, did they tell me right or did they tell me wrong? You're not too sure for yourself. Was the advice given, was it right, was it wrong? But you'll never go to God in the place of prayer and come away with a doubt in your mind. Did I do what was right in taking that care to Him in the place of prayer? Because He knows what to do is right. We have that wonderful illustration of the disciples in that boat on the Sea of Galilee, and it's tossed about them. They think that they're going to sink. The Lord Jesus is in the boat and they think they're going to sink. And they went to Him, and reproachfully they said to Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were so anxious, they were striving in their own vain strength to get that boat to safety. And yet they had one on board, and they thought He didn't care for them. Dear Christian, today we have a Heavenly Father, and He cares for us. And it doesn't matter what storm you're going through today, what personal troubles and trials that you're facing, He knows what's right for you and He knows what's right for me. He cares. Do you ever, as a child, memorize the little poem, The Robin and the Sparrow? I was reminded of it a few weeks ago. It said, the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no Heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. It was just like back in that boat. They thought the Lord didn't care for them. But they forgot the vital point. He was in the storm with them. That's how much He cared. And He's in your storm. And that's how I know He cares. We'll close with this thought, because it's very clear in the text. It tells us about the Christ who cares. He careth for you. He careth for you. In verse 4, Peter makes mention of the chief shepherd. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. And here we're introduced again to the chief shepherd. He's coming back one day. This blessed Saviour and shepherd of the chosen flock. He careth for you. That word that is used in the second part of the verse, it's not about anxious care, but it is the object of care. Here we have one who cares for you. He careth for you. The word literally means concerned about, interested in, take care of. And that's the continuous care of the great shepherd over his flock. He cares. He cares for his sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and he careth not for the sheep. But the Lord Jesus, as the great shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, he cares. At Christmas I was given a lovely new daily devotional by Pastor Victor Maxwell. And I was so blessed on the second entry, on the 2nd of January. He gave the illustration how when preaching on 1 Peter 5 and 7, he told the story about George Mueller. Of course, you'll know the story of Mueller, at least many of you will. The amazing man of prayer who built so many orphanages for the underprivileged in Bristol. And he relied on God solely to bring the funding in for all of those thousands of boys and girls that he cared for. And somebody asked him one day what was the secret of his ministry. And he said, there it is, a little text on his desk. And it was a literal rendering of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And it went like this: it matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. And if it matters to us, it matters to the Master. That's how much Christ cared. He's concerned. It doesn't matter how small the problem is today, it matters to him. If it matters to you, it matters to him. That's how much he cares. Peter knew this from his own ministry. He cared when sickness came and visited his family. One of the first references we find to Peter is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, 30 and 31. And there we have the Lord Jesus Christ coming to Peter's home, and he's going to raise from the sickbed his mother-in-law. He cared. He cared for Peter when he sank beneath the billows. Remember how he cried out in desperation. He took his eye of the Lord just a moment and he said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord stretched out that omnipotent hand and caught him and took a grip of him and brought him back to the boat. He cared for him when he was sinking. He cared. He cared for him when he had to face the sifting by Satan. Remember the Lord Jesus said to Peter prior to the cross, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." There was going to be a day of testing for Peter. But the Lord said, "I have prayed for you." And you and I know today, as we face the sifting of Satan, that the Lord Jesus, our great High Priest in heaven, he's praying for us. He so cares, he's praying for us. When somebody says to you, "I'm praying for you," will you recognize and you realize that's an individual who really cares? And up in glory, we have a great High Priest. And as we face that sifting of Satan, he cares because he's praying for us. I think one of the loveliest examples of how he cared is given by Peter himself in 1 Peter 5 and 1. He said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." How did Peter know he cared? Because he suffered for him. There on the cruel cross of Calvary, of which Peter somehow was an eyewitness of, Peter realized as he looked at the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ really cared for him. And you and I, as Christians today, how could we ever allow the devil to cloud over our thinking or cloud over our own understanding or perception of the things of God when we look to the cross and when we know that on the cross, the Lord Jesus, he suffered for us. He suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. He cares. Peter spoke as an eyewitness. He was there in Gethsemane. He knew the sufferings of Christ in Gethsemane. He was there in the high priest's courtyard. Remember how the eye of Christ caught the eye of Peter in his awful denial. Oh, he cared. And he was there at the cross. Let us never question how the Lord cares for his own dear people. He cares. God wants you to know today, if you take nothing away from the meeting other than just a simple truth, God wants you to know that what matters to you matters to him. That he cares for you personally. As an individual member of his family, he cares for you. How could we ever question that he didn't care? But what of you who are here unconverted? What does it matter to you about him? Does it matter to you about him? The one who has paid for your sin. He waits still today to cleanse your sin away. Because it matters to him about you. It really does matter to him about you. And he calls you today to come and cast your burden of sin upon him, the one alone who can bear it and carry it. the one alone who has made it his own. You'll not be too far ahead in the weeks or days that lie ahead, dear believer, until you'll need 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May you take it with you today, and may the Lord write it on your heart. Let's all please unite in prayer. Our time is gone, so we're going to talk to the Lord in prayer. We're going to commit our way to God this day. Please, let's all unite in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for ever caring about us. We thank thee for sending the Son of thy love, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us life's blood as a ransom on the cross of Calvary. As we look to the cross again today and see his sufferings, and behold the bloody sacrifice, we thank thee that we know with assurance that he really cares. And I ask today that thou wilt help all of your people to cast their care upon him. Help us not to carry our burdens needlessly, but to carry them prayerfully to the Saviour and to cast them upon him. We pray for those that are still carrying the greatest burden of all, the burden of sin, that burden that will take them out into a lost eternity. We pray today that there might be even one soul in the gathering that will bring their burden of sin to the Lord in prayer, and as it were, cast it upon him. Sanctify the word of God by thy Spirit to our hearts and lives. And when we are absent one from the other, we pray that thou, the Holy Spirit, will write these truths upon our hearts. So separate us now for this time, one from the other, in thy fear and with thy favour. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.